For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
You're listening to A to Z at Money. I'm Kamota Mayondi. So A to Z at Money is an alphabetically ordered series offering fresh ideas and insights on all the things you wonder about and need to know concerning business, personal development, leadership, and of course, money. This week, we are talking about assets. What assets should you consider on the road to financial independence? In studio with me today, I have Stella Satarukai. Stella is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and has a background in wealth consulting. As a wealth consultant, her focus was on providing independent international financial solutions to a globally minded professional in Zambia, specializing in asset protection, investment for income, tax-efficient investments, pensions planning, and UK pension transfers and trusts. Welcome to A to Z at Money.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So like I said, we're discussing assets in relation to how someone can acquire wealth and assets to help them gain financial independence. So as goes with the tradition of the show, I will define the word, the asset. So I like this particular definition of an asset. So it says, so an asset is a useful or valuable thing, a person or quality. The accountant in me would not stop there. I have to take it to financial accounting. So a financial accounting definition, an asset is an economic resource, anything tangible or intangible that can be owned or controlled to produce value and that is held to have positive economic value is considered an asset. Simply stated, an asset represents value of ownership that can be converted into cash, although cash itself is also considered an asset. So there we have the definition. We're good?
Yes.
Yes. What would you say the Zambian dream is? And before we get into that, I asked Twitter, and Twitter gave me very interesting answers. So a disclaimer, the following responses to what the Zambian dream is are from Twitter. So if you'd also like to throw in what you think the Zambian dream is, you could send us a WhatsApp message at +260 967 144220. So a response from Twitter says, to them, they think that the Zambian dream is a college diploma, government job, used car from Japan, to marry, access a loan, and start building a house. That's from Charlie Emma. Another contribution of what someone would define as the Zambian dream is, being in government is nearly everyone's. I've made it. And I mean not doing anything, but getting lump sums in the government, not just any position. So that's a contribution from Miss Shayna, who has defined the Zambian dream of having most people think a Zambian dream is working in government and amounting huge amounts of money. Another contribution from Bright, the Zambian dream has changed over the years. Nothing defined now. I think back in the day, get an education, get a good pensionable job, retire and buy yourself a huge farm and live there happily ever after with your grandkids. So thank you everybody for these contributions. Now, Stella, what would you say the Zambian dream is?
I think I actually agree with the last contribution that says it's evolved.
Yes.
Because when our parents were starting off, I think it was easier for them to get jobs in the government, get houses in the Chiluba era.
Yes.
And then for us, it's like, oh my God, if someone's building, you're thinking, what am I doing wrong?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I think right now it's just for you to have a certain level of financial independence.
Yes.
Which most of us are striving for.
Indeed.
And if your Zambian dream is a flat in Chalala, like, don't let anyone take away from that.
I like that. Everyone's dream is valid, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So now moving on to the actual juicy bits of our conversation today. So everyone has defined what the Zambian dream is. And a common theme is definitely ownership of land of sorts. So let's get into that. Cars, houses, and plots. That is almost the Zambian standard. So are these categories of assets actually assets? And more so, I'd like us to tailor our conversation slightly towards the more youthful side because we do generally have a large youthful population. So cars, houses, plots, are these assets?
Yes, definitely, they are assets. If we start with cars,
yes.
I know a lot of people will argue, why buy a car when you can buy land and yada yada. I think there was a joke going on when in the rainy season.
Uh-huh.
Like all of you guys who are saying we shouldn't buy cars, we should buy land. Let's see if your land will will help you when it's raining.
Yes.
But then they are. A vehicle is considered a movable asset.
Okay.
And based on your definition of it creating economic value or turning it into cash.
Yes.
Some places, if, for example, you want to get a loan or have access to finance, you can use your vehicle as collateral because it's an asset. If you were found in a situation where you want to invest in something else, you can divest and basically sell your vehicle for cash, which is an asset. So yes, a vehicle is an asset. Land and plots and houses are definitely assets, and they are one of the most important asset classes because, unlike vehicles, they do not depreciate. Most of the times, land appreciates.
Correct.
And especially in Zambia, I think the value of a property, if you bought it for 10,000 5 years ago and you try to sell it now,
you're cashing in
big cashing in a lot. So we shouldn't take away from people wanting to own land or building and having those because they're fixed assets that you can then, if you wanted, sell or use, rent out to bring you income.
So you mentioned these are particular assets. I've heard arguments on the flip side saying, why would, for example, why would a 27-year-old want to tie in their money? Why would you get 60,000 kwacha and put down a payment on a piece of land that you will not be able to develop until X amount of years? And I think the average cost of building a house goes into the hundreds and thousands of kwacha, depending on what you're looking for. But you will not spend, I think, less than 200,000 kwacha for a structure of at least a standard smallish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
So at the end of the day, you need to look at why you're investing. Every person needs to have an idea of why they're investing. Are you investing for the short term or for the long term? So if you're investing for the long term, even though you don't have the money to build, you can still buy a piece of property because you also don't know how much that piece of property will cost in the future. There are quite a number of people that are regretting not having bought one piece of land, let's say in Salama Park, for example, because it was a forest and it was cheap. But if you try to get a piece of land there now, you'd wish you had bought earlier. So when you're obtaining assets, you have to look at whether it's the long term or the short term. So land is usually long term. You can develop over the years, while other assets are short term. For example, there are people that can have 60,000 and they would then put it into a fixed deposit.
Yes.
That's they're thinking short term. So it all depends on what your goals are.
Okay. So I like that you mentioned breaking down thinking of what your assets should be into short term, long term, and you mentioned a fixed deposit. So ideally, when someone is saying, I want to deposit something for the short term. So when you're doing a short term investment, what should you look for, like to max out the returns on your particular investment?
I think the first thing that you should look for is where are you going to invest and what are their terms and conditions, because you don't want to lose your money in expensive charges or things that you're not aware of. When you're doing a fixed deposit, when you're thinking of the term, you also have to think of what the conditions are for the institution that you're depositing your money in. If you choose a term of 12 months, for example,
yes,
and 8 months later you want to get your money back, what will the penalties be? So you really have to decide what you want to do. I had a personal experience where I fixed money for 12 months and then I needed the money 11 months into. And I lost a substantial amount of it just because I needed the money 11 months into. But I had to make a decision of should I wait another month or should I take it out? And from then I've decided that I'm just going to be doing like monthly or quarterly. So you really have to understand what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And how disciplined are you, and will you be able to wait for the term that you're choosing?
Okay, so that's interesting. So be fully aware of the terms and conditions of the fixed term deposits that you're making for an asset. So this is obviously you're depositing X amount of cash and the T's and C's are X percentage.
And then they'll give you a percentage either at the end or they'll give it to you monthly. But then if you're going to receive the returns monthly, then they have conditions if you decide to break the fixed deposit because you've been getting the money
So when we talk about assets and how we could secure our financial independence, a part that comes into mind for me is, so I am 20, like, for example, this is an example. I'm 25 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm only earning about 4,000 mm-hmm. kwacha. How then do I get an asset? Like, I'm hardly making ends anything. Meet, maybe, you yeah. know? So how do you... some people say, I don't have enough to invest. I can't have assets. I literally just live hand to mouth.
That's a valid question. But at the end of the day, it's about starting based on where you're from. You see... I am always inspired by these women in the market that do chilimba and give yes. each other every other month. I think you have to be creative and proactive about investing, even if it means setting aside 500 kwacha every month, you know, or 300 kwacha in an account that will give you interest. There are quite a number of institutions that would accept small amounts and give you interest, or coming up with a group of friends to put the money together. Because at the end of the day, one of the biggest regrets worldwide, especially for women, is not having invested more, even when they thought they were earning less. You just have to do
it. So no amount is too small to grow an asset, basically.
No amount is too small. And you have to research, because even in terms of land ownership, there are a number of people, you just have to make sure they're legit, that would be willing to have a rent-to-buy kind of arrangement
yes.
for land. So you have to do your research and see what sort of investments you can do. In terms of things like shares, there's no small amount you can buy.
any share. Oh, I like that you've brought up shares. When I was doing my research for this particular show, I realized, well, sadly, we don't have enough data on our local market. Mm-hmm. So you usually find you're looking at statistics from America, you're looking mm-hmm. at statistics from the UK. So you mentioned shares. I don't think a lot of young people understand. Are even looking to invest in shares or even understand generally. So what would you advise people to, how could we widen our scope in thinking, I don't need to just think houses, I don't need to just think mm-hmm. plots in Chalala or New Kasama. What, there are other options.
We've had the Lusaka Stock Exchange for quite some time now, but I think it also comes back to our industry, making people more aware of what it means to invest and how the returns are. The best way that you can learn is to actively look for the information if you want to invest. So you have to go to a stockbroker who would explain to you the terms and conditions. But also, just when you're a young person, you should be aware of the things that are happening. For example, a few years ago, there was a company that was joining the stock exchange. So they had an initial public offering, and they put it out in the newspaper for yes. like 2 months.
Uh-huh.
You have to be able to take risks, because investments is all about risks, yes. even when you don't understand.
Yes.
To seek the information, try to understand it, and put yourself out there, and try with a small amount and see how it works. With shares, they're also good for the short term. They're good for the long term if you really want capital growth.
Yes.
But they're also good for the short term, because when you want to sell them off, it's quite easy in the secondary market.
Okay.
So young people just have to be open, and also visit your nearest stockbroker.
Okay.
And find the information.
So you mentioned being proactive in getting information of what are the options for me to invest my money, to grow my money, and that sort of thing. What would you say are the major things that people who are like starting out in their career, mid-level career, should immediately stop doing because they're losing money?
Wow, there's quite a number of things, but you can't really stop doing a lot of things. You just have to take account of what you are doing. For example, I used to spend a lot on airtime.
Okay.
Like, I would buy 10 kwacha, 20 kwacha, and then I calculated how much I was spending, and I was like, oh my God, no.
Uh-huh.
So then I decided to start buying these packs that the airtime companies give, 100 kwacha for a month or something.
Okay.
And I found I was spending less. So sometimes it's just taking account of what am I spending on, where is my money going, and seeing how big of an amount you're spending. For example, for me personally, I've only had mojitos like 4 times this month. That's crazy. And if I calculate for you how many mojitos I've had in the past year and how much I've spent, it had to come home to say,
okay,
Stella, no, you have to cut down. So each person has different things that they spend on.
Lifestyle decisions. Yes,
and you have to make, like some people would spend on hair, some people would spend on alcohol, some people would spend on kitchen parties. So you have to decide. Yeah.
And when you say kitchen parties, that's committees, right?
Yes, committees. I have a friend who was telling me she's in 500, 700. I'm like, okay, so five, that's like 2-5?
Right.
On a committee?
Right.
I'm like, okay.
So if you've just joined us, I have Stella Satarukai in studio with me. We're talking assets and how you could secure yourself financially, gain financial independence by investing in assets, the type of assets you should consider investing in, the things that you should potentially cut down on so that you're given a bit of room to invest the smaller monies that you have here and there. And just to quote Stella, she says that no amount is too small to put away a little something, be it a fixed investment or a long-term investment. Correct. So, losing money. So now going back to the structure that we have, like I said, Zambia has a youthful population who currently make up the largest part of the workforce. But then wealth is still locked up in the older generation. Yeah. How can we catch up? Like, how do we catch a break? Like you mentioned, back in the day, people, I think, had more things than we do at a certain age. Maybe things were easier. Maybe they were smarter. Were they better invested? Were there more investment opportunities? But how can we start to unlock wealth for it to trickle down to more youthful age groups?
Unfortunately, it's very tough for us to catch up. When we talk about the generation before us, government policies were on their side.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much easier for people who were working in government. I think it's also easier now for people who are working in government to get houses. And they had to pay monthly, and then they'll own the house. And you find that they were paying $1,000 for this house that they have to pay over a period of time.
Yes.
Our current policies don't give us that as young people, so we have to fight slightly harder. It's tougher for us. So I don't know if we're going to catch up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we will, but I don't know. But without policies that work for young people, it's going to be a very difficult road. We just have to keep doing the little things that we're doing to invest, but it's really tough for us to catch up with the older generation.
And then now, speaking on another dynamic, we've talked about the age gap in the distribution of wealth. Another thing is some people often say, okay, so I may not have been born into privilege or born into, like, how do you stop the cycle of generational poverty? There's generational wealth, but for example, you find that you have an asset, you're trying to figure it out, but you have so many responsibilities because of the huge gap in your particular bloodline between having, and then you finally get a break. How can we help people create more long term so that ease the burden on the generations to come?
Mm.
Yeah.
I wish I had an answer to that.
I like that.
I wish I had an answer to that. I think when we talk about generational poverty, personally, I like to believe that to a certain extent, we have to stop thinking of, because I was born in this, I'm going to always stay in this, you know? Because even when you talk about generational wealth, there are some people who were born in wealth, and when you meet them now, you're like, oh my God, what happened?
Yes.
Like, why didn't you take advantage of the opportunities? So opportunities are out there. And some of the people that became wealthy and now created generational wealth for their families came from poverty. So I think it's an issue of being proactive, changing your mindset, and somehow just knowing that no matter what, I need to make it because I can't keep living
like that,
like this, you know. And poverty is something that demoralizes you. It just keeps you going backwards.
True.
So at some point, you have to make a decision to say, this is not for me, and how will I try to push to get there? It's not going to be easy, but it has to be done.
So, poverty is demoralizing. It's very discouraging when you just move from strife to strife to strife. So if you've just joined us, this is A to Z at Money. In studio with me is Stella Satarukai. Stella is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and a wealth consultant. So moving on to my earlier definition of an asset, it's a useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. Let's go to the qualitative side. Mm-hmm. What qualities in people are assets, and what should we focus on to just be a, you know, like, these are my qualities and they work well for me?
For me, exactly. I think, I believe confidence is an asset.
Confidence, I like that.
Because when you walk in a room with confidence, you own the room and people tend to give you more opportunities than when you are
apologetic.
In a shell. Yes. Yeah. You know, you have to be able to say, this is who I am, this is what I can do. Because at some point, you might not have any money, but if you can speak well, someone would give you an opportunity because they see it.
Okay.
So I think confidence is number one. Being assertive also is very important. Knowing what you want and being able to communicate that.
Yes.
Because some people want something and they're in a room with someone who can give it to them, but they don't want to ask.
That is true. I think I've fallen victim to, like, there's your opportunity.
And
but
you're just like...
Or shyness, yes. Or... I don't know.
No, I always tell myself that the worst that can happen is that this person says no.
Right.
So that's the worst.
Right.
I won't lose anything. I'll still be at the same position.
So now we're looking more at the intangible assets, the non-physical things of qualities, of personal attributes, confidence, yes. Assertiveness. Would you have any other trait that you'd say is a asset for an individual?
I think now away from, so there's people that are confident and assertive, then there's people that are creative. That's also an asset on itself. So sometimes creatives might not be so outspoken, but okay. Then their assets are in the fact of the things that they can do that other people can do. So you have to be able to still tell people that you can do this, because if you have a talent that you can do and you can push forward, that can turn into money for you.
That's true. So yeah. I like that the conversation we've taken it to, assets are just not in physical, material possessions.
Exactly.
They're in qualities. They're in your ability to speak, your ability to think, you know. So that's also a good thing. And in closing, we're at the back end of A to Z at Money, and this has been the Assets Show. Education. I remember there was a point in my life when I was like, okay, this thing I'm doing is costing a lot of money, but mm-hmm. It's an asset. So should we also consider the investments we make in our education an asset, to study this course over that course, to put on hold buying a car to get a master's degree? So how can you weigh that?
Over the years, you know, when I started off, I 100% believed that every education was an asset.
Yes.
But over the years, I think being more aware of what's happening around the world, I'm beginning to believe that education is an asset if it's the right education.
I love that, yes.
So you go and study, for example, computer science, mm-hmm. and you go to a school that's teaching you Windows 97.
Yeah.
That's not an asset.
It's
you
not
know.
Relevant.
Exactly. By the time you're done with your 1 year course, like, oh my God, no. So we need to now start learning about, I mean, Kamota, you and I are global shapers.
Yes.
We're always talking about jobs of the future.
Yes.
So we need to start relearning, because some of the things that we've spent 4 years on and your master's on are not going to be relevant in the next 10 years.
That is very true.
So yes, education is an asset, and now we need to relearn some of the things and remember that some of the things we've learned are irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's sad.
Yeah.
But we have to now figure out what do we have to learn to be relevant in the future.
Thank you very much. So you have been listening to Kamota and Stella Satarukai on A to Z at Money. So a lot of great takeaways from the show today. And stay tuned. More to come on Money FM 93.7. Thank you very much for your time, Stella.
Thank you, Kamota.
All right. Now on to a break. Listen to how you can win fuel with Money FM Zambia.
Win fuel of up to 500 kwacha every week, courtesy of Money 93.7 FM. To stand a chance, like, share, and comment on any of our Facebook and Twitter posts and hashtag Money FM Fuel. Money FM, your business radio.
Definitely, when I just saw Money, I was, hey.
Hey!
The Money team is right here. And that's how I got to like your page as well.
Okay.
All you have to do is interact with them via their social media platforms and whatnot. And I did exactly just that.
Mm.
Definitely, I'm going to use it in the car, because tomorrow I've got a journey to the Copper Belt. And,
well,
it's well timed.
Wow. There we go. Perfect timing, huh?
Perfect timing, huh?
T's and C's apply.